We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig speaking. We give you a most cordial invitation to stay with us, trusting the Lord will be able to make our broadcast a blessing to you. We open our service with the male quartet singing for us, Where Could I Go But to the Lord?
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord?
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege of coming to you. You've told us to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're thankful for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. We're trusting that as our broadcast service goes out today, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. Thank God we know you love each one and your concern for them, whatever their needs might be. So minister to our congregation and bless this broadcast service to each heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I found our refuge now from every sorrow. Joy everlasting is free. I see this world with all its sinful follies.
Oh,
Our subject today is entitled The Christian and Temptation. Our text of scripture is found in the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor either shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that's reading down through verse 18 of James 1. Now, the word temptation means, at least in part, an enticement or invitation to sin, with the implied promise of greater good to be derived from following the way of disobedience. And that's a quote from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. And an example of this is when Satan told Eve she would be like the gods if she ate of the fruit of the tree. Yes, he tried to make her think that God was withholding something good and something beneficial for them. And, of course, we know how he deceived her into disobeying Almighty God. One of the greatest challenges of living the Christian life is dealing with temptation. A newborn Christian may be surprised at the coming of temptations so soon after being forgiven of their sins. But it may be possible you will have more after you are saved than before you were saved. While you were living in sin, you were a servant of sin. But when you surrendered your heart and your life over to the Lord and became a true Christian, then you have Satan as an opposer. And you may find that you have more temptations as a Christian than you did as a sinner. But, beloved, we must know and realize that God has promised to be with us. In verse 12 of our text today, we have a promise. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And that is a precious promise, and God always keeps his promises. After you have been proved true, you will receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You prove your love by overcoming temptations and obeying the Lord. Now, it's not being realistic to think that you're going to live a Christian life in this sinful world without temptations. But we must have strength and grace from God, and God has it for us, that we can overcome the temptation. So you prove your love by overcoming temptations and by obeying the Lord. Then in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, it is true that the Bible does speak about God tempting Abraham. At least the King James Version does. But we must understand that the verse here talking about God tempting Abraham, the word should be understood as God tried Abraham. For as I have just read from verse 13, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. Yes, God tries us, and he allows Satan to try us. But God, who is light and in him is no darkness at all, he cannot be responsible for any evil. He is not responsible for any evil. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is holy, and as the verse says, God cannot be tempted with evil. He does not tempt anyone to do wrong. He tempts no man to disobey his commands. God is the source of good, not evil. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. And in verse 14 now, we notice, everyone is tempted. You cannot live in this world, I say, without being tempted. But remember, temptation is not sin. Temptation is an enticement or an invitation to sin with the implied promise of greater good to be derived from following the way of disobedience. But temptation is not sin. It's whenever you yield to temptation. Now, the word lust is used here in this scripture, and we need to understand that the word lust, as used here, means strong desire. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then, when those desires hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But if you resist the temptation, if you refuse to give in to the temptation or to carry out the temptation, you have not sinned. So temptation is not a sin. It's yielding to temptation, obeying the temptation, carrying out the temptation. God is the source of good, I say, and not evil. And everyone is tempted, but he can have grace to overcome the temptation and not yield to it. When he is drawn away of his own desires, there can be no temptation when there is no desire. And let me repeat that. There can be no temptation when there is no desire. So Satan is not going to waste his time, as it were, trying to tempt you on something that you have no interest, no desire whatsoever in. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our faults. He knows all about us, as it were. And so he's going to attack us on our weakest point. But nevertheless, even on our weakest point, God has promised us grace to overcome him. Now let's look at John, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16 for a moment. Here we have the Apostle John saying, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, here we have in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the three things that the devil used to tempt Eve. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan was successful in getting Eve to desire to find out how that fruit tasted. Yes, he created a desire in her heart to find out how that fruit tasted. So we have there the lust of the flesh. And Eve saw that the fruit was good, and she looked at it, and we have the lust of the eyes. And then the third, we have the pride of life, when Satan told her that if she would eat of that fruit, she would be like the gods. He appealed to pride. So we have in the temptation of Eve the very same things that the Apostle John mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So Satan has used that all down through the ages. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Satan has used it again and again and again. And with many people, he has been successful. Eyesight is a wonderful blessing, but there are things that we are not to look at. According to Jesus, we can sin by looking and desiring the things of the flesh. If a man look on a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery already in his heart with her. The third thing that John spoke of was the pride of life. And Satan said to Eve, you shall be as gods. And seemingly, she was not conscious or not thinking at that present time that she was already like God. Yes, she was created in the image of God. And whenever she yielded to Satan and partook of that forbidden fruit, she lost that image and took on a carnal image. You know, God hates pride, and Satan has used pride over and over and over again. But pride goes before a fall. The Lord honors the spirit of humility, recognizing that of ourselves we are nothing and we can do nothing. Jesus himself said, without me, you can do nothing. Now we have in the temptation of Eve the very three things I say that John said here in his scripture. What does Satan have to tempt people with other than these three things? Now let's look for a moment about how sin develops. Temptation, this involves two things. Desires and enticement. The marginal reading for the word is trapped, or we could say an opportunity and an encouragement to satisfy the desire. Satan tempted Jesus to turn stone into bread after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tempted Judas to, when he knew the Jews, or the leaders at least of the Jews, wanted to kill him. Now that is why I say you can go to some places without sinning, but it is better not to, lest you give Satan the opportunity to tempt you. Then when lust hath conceived, whenever the desire conceives, or in other words, whenever your heart consents to it, then you sin. It bringeth forth sin. Again, temptation is not sin, but when the heart consents to the temptation, then sin is the result. An example of this is the sin of David. When he was walking there on the veranda of his house, and he saw that woman bathing, if he had gone back in his palace and fallen on his knees and asked God to give him power over the temptation that was presented to him, he would have never sinned. But he looked, he desired, and he sent for her. And when he found out she was a married woman, the desire had already conceived in his heart, and he carried out that desire, and he committed a terrible sin, not only in committing adultery with another man's wife, but he later had her husband killed. So he was guilty of adultery and of murder, and it was because he yielded to temptation rather than overcoming it. How to overcome wrong desires? Since this is where the process of sin begins, it is the best place for us to begin. Change our desires. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So whenever temptation comes, a desire comes for something, change our desires. Think on other things. Think on good things. Think on the things of God. Think on the things of what the Word of God teaches us to do and not to do. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, that is, dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. So we read in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Limit our opportunities. While we work on changing our desires, we should limit the opportunities to fulfill wrong desires as much as possible. Do not look at improper things. Do not read improper material. Do not go to places that might excite wrong desires. Keep our bodies under the control of the Holy Spirit, as Paul taught us. Paul said, I keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. So keep our bodies under the control of the Spirit of God. And Paul teaches us in the book of Romans that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to bear, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with our precious congregation today. We trust that they have been a blessing to each heart, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The encouragement to us, if you write and let us know that you enjoy our broadcast. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. You can listen to an already broadcast service. We have an archive there of a number of our broadcasts. And if you've missed any, or you'd like to hear one over, you go to our archives on our webpage and you can download it. You can also join us in our services as they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
And peace like a river.